Well, we've had Andy Young on this morning. We've had Roy Jones Jr. on this morning. And Bernard Hopkins on this morning, all to talk about Muhammad Ali. And right now, the hardest working man in sports, James Brown. JB, good morning.
Tom, I still love you, but you know my conversation is going to be with Sybil this morning because I just figured you and Jay Anthony had kicked me to the side as much as I've loved you guys. No. And Tom, the thing that changed my mind was on Saturday I got picked up coming from the CBS News Bureau by a wonderful sister who is a big wig with the Internal Revenue Service and goes to Mount Calvary Holiness, and she just couldn't sing Tom Joyner's praises enough, saying not only is he a man of the people, he is the nicest, most thoughtful, caring superstar I have ever met, who went into the whatever the place was to get something to eat, called her and said, "You do eat, don't you? I'll buy you something, too." And I said, "Well, you know what? So now I got to love on Tom no matter what." Jay Anthony, the last time I saw him was in the airport in Charlotte. And Tom and Sybil, he had the nerve to walk by me. I'm trying my best. You know I'm losing an ounce. I'm losing an ounce a year. Jay Anthony walked by me and saw that collar all tight on my neck. And he said, "I see you still wearing prison clothes." Oh, Sybil, they are pieces of work.
I know they are. JB, I got to tell you, yesterday I was transfixed by the coverage that CBS gave him on Sunday morning, and your piece on Muhammad Ali was just wonderful. And the irony of the timing of the champ's death, and talking about the Ali Summit. Can you talk about that?
You know what, Sybil, great question. And let me give credit where credit is due as well. My producer, who was a wonderful brother by the name of Alvin Patrick, he had the brilliant idea to tie the tribute to the Ali Summit, which, of course, many young people may not remember back in 1967 when Jim Brown, who called the meeting, along with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, then known as Lew Alcindor, Bobby Mitchell, Bill Russell, you name it, some iconic names, they had called Ali, then a young 25-year-old, I believe, to the meeting to try to convince him that he ought to go and serve in the military during the Vietnam War. That was their aim, was to convince him. But the young fellow, then young Ali, convinced them resoundingly that he was standing on the convictions of his belief and his faith, and that if it meant being stripped of his title, which he was, and not being able to fight in his prime for 3 years, he would do that. And while he was reviled for that position, over time, beyond the world of sports, folks got to respect and revere him, even if they disagreed with him, because he stood on his convictions. And while, even as I mentioned this morning with Charlie Rose, Gail King, and Nora O'Donnell, I mentioned that, you know, while with all due respect to Babe Ruth and Michael Jordan, the other big names mentioned that are globally known, Ali was known for 5 decades around the globe with big respect, and this was before Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you know, internet. This guy was phenomenal.
You talked also, you gave some of the Ali phrases and some of the quotes that he did, but just the fact that there will never be another, and some of the things that, you know, people that you never would have thought would have known the name Muhammad Ali, but no matter where you went, JB, people would always ask you, "Do you know Muhammad Ali?"
No question about it. I mean, all you needed to say was Ali, and they knew that. And they were asking me, how enduring is his legacy? Mm-hmm. Well, look, Tom and Jay Anthony, you can certainly recall some names from back in the past. But for most of the millennial folks, I'll just have to say, well, old school names like Sugar Ray Leonard. Sugar Ray revered him, patterned himself after him. Yeah, Muhammad Ali had a braggadociousness about him, but he backed it up. And that was his marketing. That was his showmanship, which he took from a wrestler by the name of Gorgeous George. Way back in the day, he saw how he used that showmanship and that confidence, that brashness, if you will, to bring attention, but he was able to back it up. And even to new school young guys like Cam Newton, who back during the Super Bowl when I interviewed him, he wasn't even born when Ali was fighting his heyday, but he says Ali is and maintains the position of being his hero because he wants to back it up and show that he can get it done as well, too. Not being cocky, not being arrogant, but to back it up. And even a young fellow like Cam Newton has big respect for him.
The GOAT, the greatest of all times. There's a lot of things that made him the greatest of all times. In your opinion, what's one of the things that made him the greatest of all time?
Ooh, you know what? It probably started. Great question, Tom. Wow,
that's a tough one too. That's a tough one.
Yeah, it does because there's so much
you can say.
Out of the ring, it is what he represented in speaking truth to power. The one word I would use about him is he was transformational because he was an athlete, Tom, who stood up speaking truth to power for what he believed. And I was talking to a young white fella about that today down at the D.C. Bureau, and he says, I know nothing about sports, but it's how he said what he said. In the ring, clearly when he defeated Sonny Liston, you know, and Ali was scared out of his mind when he fought him. And secondly, he was scared out of his mind when he fought George Foreman because they said, Ali, if you're not on your game, this man can severely hurt you. And to employ that rope-a-dope where he allowed George Foreman to tire himself out by pounding away. George Foreman used old-school training techniques. He didn't lift weights. He strapped a rope, hooked it up to a Volkswagen, and ran uphill, Jay Anthony, with that. That's how country strong he was. So for Ali to employ that method in knocking out George Foreman was phenomenal as well in terms of inside the ring.
Do you remember meeting him for the first time?
You know what? The last time I saw Ali was about 8 years ago at Fight Night in Arizona. I was blessed to be introducing LaDainian Tomlinson, the football player, had asked me if I would present him to get his award from Muhammad Ali, and I saw him then, and he was still fairly lucid and clear with his speech. And you know what? He was quiet out of the ring, very respectful, as much respect as we all had for him in terms of almost genuflecting because of what he represented. He accorded you the same kind of respect as well. It was two ways. So that even endeared most of us to him even more, Sybil.
There was a quiet strength about him in the latter years that just really took people beyond. And Tom has been telling us stories about his days with the champ this morning, too. And it's just always great to hear those stories.
No question.
You know, when you talked about the rope-a-dope?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right. When Ali would train he would go rounds, 3-minute rounds with just nothing but body punches. But the trick to it is rolling with the punches. If you watch that Foreman fight again,
yes, sir.
Watch how he rolls with the punches, so it takes off the impact. And Foreman had these wild, looping.
He would go back to Houston and pull up.
You could see it coming. And when Ali would get hit by Foreman, be it the body or the head. Watch how he rolls.
He rolls with the punches. He did roll, but guess what? Every one of his internal organs were shaken off the stem.
Yeah.
Ali said being hit by Foreman was like having the Empire State Building come down on him every time. I'm not trying to get graphic because, you know, after that fight, I have no other way of saying it, but he spit up a lot of blood in that. So he did deflected some of the strength. But let me tell you, George Foreman, even when he came out of retirement, I remember talking to Marvin Hagler's trainers, the Petronelli brothers, and I said, you know, why would he want to come back out now? He says, the one thing that you don't lose, no matter how old you get, is your strength. And he says, you might be able to see George Foreman's punch coming at you 5 minutes ahead of time, that slowly. But when it gets there, it still is feeling like being hit by a Mack truck. So, yeah, he was rolling because he needed to because one of those punches would have taken him out.
Yep.
Hey, as I hear the music, Tom and Jay, I appreciate you guys. I know the next time I'm on, it might be 5 years from now, unless Sybil makes it happen, we'll talk about what kind of dye I'm using, okay?
You put it out there.
Hey, I love you guys very much.
Thanks so much, Jay.
All right, JB.
Take care. Bye-bye.